If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Ah, hi, Tina.
Speaking of Russian hookers.
I hear you have a cold and you're a little huskier than usual.
Well, yeah, I sound like a drag queen with a cold.
That's fantastic. That's even hotter. How are you, ma'am? You have a great piece out. Women's March, size does matter. Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the main thing is just how empowering this is for so many people to not feel like they're alone. And you were talking about how surprised you were, just like I was in Washington. I don't think anyone had any idea there was going to be this kind of turnout, right? But there was such power in it.
We stood there for 4 hours. We were corralled at 47th and 2nd. And they're right near the stage. And we stood there for hours and people kept on saying, oh, we're going to start marching. We're going to start marching. And so, there were so many people that no one could use their phones. We couldn't access.
Oh, I know. Me neither.
Got a text message.
Right.
Right. And so we had no idea until we saw this just ocean of, you know, pink hats and homemade signs. And of course, all the signs are made, you know, there's feathers and glitter and people are there with their children and people are there with their mom.
Yeah.
And there were old people and there were babies.
Yep.
And it was, before the march, people were saying calling it a women's march is not inclusive enough and you need to have something much broader because it is, you know, essentially an anti-Trump rally. I absolutely disagree. The women kind of, calling it a women's march is important because Trump is so anti-woman, which is so anti-humanity.
Right.
But it also led to, it was less hostile. That's why there wasn't violent confrontation.
Right.
Because no one wants to see.
Exactly. Because girls, because who rules the world? Who rules the world, Tina?
Right. But no one wants to see their mom get tear gassed.
Yeah.
You know? Even the cops don't want to tear gas their mom or their grandmom because that's who was out there.
Yeah. Jody Hamilton was filling in for me yesterday, told a great story that police came through on their bikes here in the LA march and they got a huge round of applause and she said, like, the smiles on their faces. I mean, it was, you're right. In D.C., same thing. I mean, the spirit of just cooperation and love and joy, it was so palpable. And I love, like, you're saying that yours is in because it's in his hometown in New York, it was like a big middle finger to him, which made it. And even in New York, the signs were so New York. I love one guy just had a sign that just said, this is some bull.
Exactly.
So New York-y. Ain't this some bull?
Totally.
But yeah, you said it matters, size matters to him. Don't you just love the idea that he was just stewing in the White House watching this on TV, apparently, you know, from all reports, and made Sean Spicer go out, right?
He had to drive past it in order to get to the CIA. I mean, that's why that was on his mind. He went there. He had to drive past it, all of you guys in D.C.,
yeah,
and then go to the CIA and whine about how government data was being reported accurately by the media.
Right. Right. You say he's just insulted about everyone in the world save Russia's dictator. Trump squeaked into the presidency by a perfect storm of voter suppression, Kremlin propaganda, and a nothing burger FBI investigation. You say he's not a public servant, he's a common savant. And I love him saying, oh, I don't think they were really just protesting me. Yes, yes. Yes, we were.
They're like, no, it was positive. And I was like, yeah, it was, but positively anti-Trump.
Right. I love your story about, you said your South African cab driver said, you've elected the worst person in the world. And he survived apartheid. Yeah.
It's true. I mean, we got a lot of that. Actually, there was one woman who pulled me aside privately, and she said, election night, it felt like a death in the family.
Yeah.
A South African woman.
Yeah.
That was a white woman. The black South Africans were even less optimistic than that. It was,
yeah.
You know, the entire world was is pretty stunned and horrified.
I loved your exchange with women next to you. One woman said, this wasn't organized very well. And you said, yeah, the next time we accidentally elect a despot, we'll do better. But, I mean, I think this really was so organic, wasn't it? I mean, it just, I don't think I even had any idea. It was in, what, 700 cities around the world?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's organic.
What's that?
And that's why we don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with so many people. You know, there's all these people who want to do something, and it's like, okay, where, you know, who's standing up and telling them what is the next thing to do, what will be most helpful. And I actually have one idea today, Stephanie. The gag rule that Trump signed yesterday.
With a bunch of white men a bunch of men signed another.
There's an organization called Women on Waves. During the Bush administration, I supported them. They go into countries where abortion is criminalized, and they're able to give women health care literally in boats. They have gone to places like Chile. They've faced military juntas and all sorts of other obstacles in getting women health care. So go on the internet, Women on Waves, give them money, give them support, write about them, post stuff to Facebook, get the word out there, because that's how we dealt with the gag rule during the Bush administration, and that's how we're going to do it in the Trump administration. They need support. These are real women whose lives are going to be impacted by this stupid arbitrary rule.
Tina,
we need to do something about it.
You made a great point, too. I mean, it was astounding, wasn't it, in D.C. and New York and Chicago. There actually were too many people to march. I mean, you made a good point about, you said, there were so many Americans in this protest that moved at a glacial pace, how very apt for social change. But with every tiny step forward, the thought kept sinking in, I'm not alone. And I think that's what the power was in it. You said, I see no good in Trump, and he's not a legitimate American president. I think there are so many of us that feel that way. That's the power in it. Because they're trying to marginalize us and make, you know, this. They keep saying over and over again, well, we won. It's like, no, actually, you didn't. Right? You lost by 3 million votes. And
got by on a technicality, which is the technicality was not a landslide.
And you keep saying, it's so funny, I keep saying I'm happy clappy, but, you know, as bad as you think this is going to be, it's going to be worse. And you said, I keep thinking, I must sound alarmist, but I'm probably calmer than I should be. Yeah. Right? I mean, it is hard to underestimate how really, I mean, this is, we're only a few days in, and it's already horrible.
Breaking up of the EU, and, and it can only get worse. And the thing is, when we think that Trump has some kind of master plan to do anything, he doesn't. It's absolutely chaos. I mean, it's President Loki. What he has around him are people who are thoroughly bad intentioned, if they are competent, or just seemingly incompetent, because there's this kind of nihilism now in the federal government where everyone has to have contempt for the job that they're in and want to blow up the government from the inside. So we have, you know, basically a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of Guy Fawkes now
running ahead,
nominated for federal positions. It's absolutely incredible.
I loved how you ended your piece. You said it was millions on every continent saying to Trump, you are a very small man. The good news, small men are easily defeated. Don't stop. Don't pause. We're coming for you, Mr. Shrinkage. I think, you know, and there's already plans for more, right?
What I've heard is that there is an April 15th, a tax day kind of revolt, which sounds fantastic, but there are a lot of organizations that have existed. There are ways of getting involved. If you're angry, if you're pissed off, if you're scared, get busy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I really do. I feel like it's just in sort of invigorated. It's empowered, you know, the people like I said, that we have to, and I've said this right after the election, if you remember, there are still more of us than them, and there is power in that. And I just think it was just an incredible thing. We're going to remember that all our lives, right? What happened Saturday?
Absolutely. It was a part of history. I was there with, there was this, my mentee is 12 years old. Her birthday was the day after the march. She wanted to be there because she doesn't like Trump and she doesn't like what's happening to her country. And I was like, you were going to tell your grandchildren about this. You were there for history.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is. I was saying some of these signs were so hilarious. So, you know, the one in San Francisco, I'm only 8 and I know this is up.
Right.
But I think that kids recognize it, right? It's just that, you know, there's stories of people going, Mommy, he's so mean. You know, like, it's not hard to understand.
No, he gives a lot of people a lot of things to hate about him. And that's the other beauty of Trump just kind of being, you know, such a petty and horrible person, like human being. I know if it's weird to call him a human being, but, you know, he's just not, he's kind of rotten on the inside. And that is a person who can either get power by fear, and that's pretty much it. He's not going to turn on the charm offensive in order to get more people to vote for him. He has the lowest historical approval rating of any other.
I mean, it's almost amazing that he's been able to be a bigger jerk during the transition and since being president than he has even in the campaign, right?
Right, and but you know, we are not Germany in the 1930s. This is a very big country, and yep. It's a very rich country, and we don't like people like Trump. There's a ceiling that he has hit as far as support, and he's at it. And his supporters are not going to sustain him. His supporters are not going to give him the adulation that he wants. He is going to crash and burn. Unfortunately, he is in a position where he can hurt a lot of people on his way down.
Yeah.
I
agree. I think we cannot normalize this. We have to work every day as hard as we can to shorten this presidency or end it, you know. And it seems like legally, I mean, I know people that, you know, intelligence analysts have said the net is tightening already on all of this, you know, Russia and FBI stuff. And so I think we just got to keep pushing. I'm glad that a bunch of people already sued him, obviously, for the emoluments clause, which he is in violation of now.
In the middle of 75 lawsuits. Anyway, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot. And the Russia stuff is probably, you know, there's more than enough evidence out there already. But they didn't think that they were going to win. So I'm hoping that they didn't cover a lot of their tracks.
Yeah.
They were brazen about a lot of this.
That's what we were just saying.
Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort did basically for Ukraine what he did for Trump. It's pretty obvious. You know, there is a paper trail somewhere.
Yeah.
This
may be the earliest we ever see indictments. I mean, you know, from what I'm reading, just from intelligence circles, you know, Stone, Flynn, and Manafort could be the first. I mean, it's incredible. We're like, you can look on your watch to see how far we're into this. Whatever this is, crime family syndicate, something. I'm not going to call them administration. Hate group.
Crime syndicate. Crime syndicate works.
Yeah, I love that you said in your piece too. Like, spare me the definitions of how a white nationalist is different than a psych, right?
Well, please, I mean, you know, the Richard Spencer is like, no, I'm not a Nazi. I'm some other kind of euphemism for people who really like genocide.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Didn't mean to be rude.
Yeah, no. You don't get to pick the new flowery language I call Nazis.
All right, Tina Dupuy, you are a delight, as phlegm-ridden as you are.
Oh, Stephanie, I've missed you so much.
I've missed you so much too. All right, talk to you soon, honey.
Kisses, bye-bye.
Kisses, bye. All right, well, not right now because you're contagious, but yeah, at some point.